Probably a good idea if we pray, huh? Need your help again, Lord. We're looking at your book. Help us to learn today what it is you need for us to learn so we can be of maximum service to you and to others. We pray for peace in your world, Lord. Help us to get along. Help us to behave like adults. Speak lovingly of our neighbor, to pray for those who bother us. Stop terrorism, Lord. We don't understand all this anti-Semitism stuff. We need your help every day. Help us to get out of your way. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Resurrection stories, right? Last week it was about doubting Thomas, and I want to take us back for about an hour and a half before the sermon. Is you okay? You got time? I want to read something to you that I got stuck on years ago that's just at the end of where Thomas says to Jesus, hey, this, say that, what about this? Thomas is the first guy to call Jesus God, right? So there's hope for all of us. I got stuck here. Chapter 20, right before this one. Jesus said to Thomas, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have come to believe. It continues, verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these were written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. I love that phrase, come to believe. First we come, we show up. And then the cloud starts to lift a little bit, and then we come to. And then we come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing we may have life in his name. Today we're talking about Pete, Jesus, and fishing. Fishing. Peter says, I'm going fishing. It's biblical. Always use an excuse. I'm going fishing. It's biblical. Guess who shows up when the boys are fishing? It's also very therapeutic. You get out on a boat. How many times, did I sound like a Minnesotan? How many O's in the word boat? Yeah, sure, you betcha, the boat. You get in the boat, and you sit around and you look at the scenery around you. You just go, oh. I know a guy who prays that the fish don't bite. Just to be with my buddies and to sit and hear the same lies we've been telling for decades. It's biblical because the Lord's name is mentioned in that boat. Right? You know what I'm talking about. You got the big one on the line and it says, whoa! And then you say, Pete, Diane, and Don, or something like that. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, it's biblical. It's therapeutic. And then how about they see this guy on the shore? They fish all night long, catch nothing, and they see this guy on the shore. Don't know who he is. And he says, now you're a fisherman in the boat, right? Kind of crusty and say praise the Lord differently than Sunday mornings. And this guy says to you, you have no fish, do you? Was that a snarky thing? And if you're one of those fishermen, don't you want to kind of say, hey, go get a job or something like that? You have no fish, have you? How about watch your own bobber, stranger? You know, nothing we love more than unsolicited advice. You know, if I were you, I would get a job. Leave me alone. If I want your opinion, I'll ask for it. No, I'm going to tell you what you should do. Wow, talk about insecure. Go to a meeting. Watch our own bobber. Pay attention to your own stuff. But you know what? It was really a good thing that they listened to Jesus. Put your net on the other side. How many fish? 153. Men's breakfast, Bible study, Thursday morning. American Legion, Chanhassen, studying the scripture. And Pastor David Spawn, church guy, one of our members, sitting right there this last service. I asked, well, what does this 153 stands for? Was some little bean counter going, 153, where's the DNR? What's the limit? Obviously, they're not from Minnesota. So David shares with us, Pastor Spong shares with us, 153 were the known nations at that time. So my mind goes to what? Catch all these fish? You mean the message of God's love for us through Jesus Christ is for all nations? All nations? Not just Norwegians and Swedes? The message of God's love for us is for all nations. The boys catch nothing. Jesus wasn't with them. It's better for us when the Lord is with us. I'm not saying if you're in the fishing boat and you call and pray that you're going to catch more fish. I don't think it works that way. I think the message is deeper, saying our days go better when we turn our will and our life over to the care of God every morning. And did you notice in all that commotion, all those fish, and who Peter recognizes or gets told, he gets a little overwhelmed enough that maybe the guy had a little bit of a wardrobe crisis. Was that safe to say he was doing what? Jumps in, starts in, anyway. This is the same Peter, by the way, who denied Jesus three times. Jesus predicts Peter's denial beforehand. Before the rooster crows, Jesus says, you will deny me three times. Peter comes back with, not me. He rebukes Jesus, never. Strong language, a bit of arrogance, self-confidence. This is the guy who walked on the water where Jesus says, come, Peter. And he gets out of the boat, starts walking, takes his eyes off the Lord. Soon, this same Peter is going to preach to thousands. Fearless before friend and foe, Peter. Denying Christ around a charcoal on the fire on the night of Jesus' betrayal. Fear. One denial. Peter would go on to boast, wouldn't he? Not only just one denial, pitiful, but three times? He denies third time, horrific, right? And did he have to curse at the end? Peter. Do we think that Peter's the only one who swore he would never do this? You ever had those moments where you promise yourself, I'm never going to do this again? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, is called insanity. I'm not going to do this thing anymore. Maybe it's from now on, I'm going to engage my brain before I engage my mouth. Just because I think something doesn't mean I have to say it. Or maybe it's the infidelity is now behind me. Never again. Or no more shady deals. I've learned my lesson. Oh, the volume of our boasting and the heartbreak of our shame. The dishonesty. Rather than ignore the gossip, we do what? We share it. Rather than stick to the truth, we shade it a little bit. And the rooster crows. And we weep as Peter wept. And we go back to our old lives. We return to our pre-Jesus practices. we now do what comes naturally rather than what comes spiritually. And then we question whether Jesus has a place for us, for folks like us, flawed, imperfect, and broken. So Jesus invites Peter to come to breakfast. Jesus prepares the meal around another charcoal fire. And during this story, Jesus and Pete have a powerful conversation about love. And with words of love in his mouth and with compassion in his eyes, Jesus restores Peter. Forgiven for his faithlessness, his selfishness, his self-centeredness, his dishonesty, and his fear. And he is restored. And so are we through his resurrection, you and me, all of us. Every one of us who has ever run away from the one who was our very life, and we stumble, we faint, we turn the other way, and still Jesus comes, arms stretched out, love, compassion. He loves us with a love that will not let us go. With every declaration of Peter's love, it's met with what? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Peter would never forget that exchange. He would go on to write and share with the early church and all future believers for that matter. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8, he says what? Above all, love one another deeply because love covers a multitude of sin. It is so comforting to know that Jesus uses flawed people like us to bring the good news of God's love to all the nations. As we have been fed, as we have been forgiven, let us feed others. Let us forgive others. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help us to come to believe, to become aware of your gaze of love upon us. Help us to carry the message of your love into all the world. Amen.